Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." Heavenly Father, we always give you thanks and praise, for you are always in our midst. You are so gracious to stoop down from heaven and to hear our prayer. Please, we beg you, to open up our poor lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, or distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, we're begging you, give us the wisdom to pray now and always to you with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Sweet beloved Father, may our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Savior. Amen. There's a great scene in Scripture. When St. Paul goes to the Athenians, and the very first thing that he does is he looks around. He observes. He takes it all in. He tries to see through his exterior eyes what people are doing in their exterior lives. And when he goes through, he realizes that there are so many shrines all over the place. And he concludes that this must be a religious people. No, he says, this must be a very religious people. And so he goes out and he goes to speak to them. And the first thing that he says is, "I commend you," right? "I notice that you are all very religious people because I see all the shrines that you have all around us." And St. Paul says, "I have been looking at them very carefully." He has been noting how they pray and who they pray to. And so he says to them, "I uncovered or discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown God, someone who is unknown to you, someone that you're praying to." And he says, "What you unknowingly worship, I'm here to proclaim to you." What he says is, "I know firsthand this God that is unknown to you. I know him personally." And we know that to be true because when St. Paul would go out as a zealot and he would go and persecute the Christians because he felt he knew God, he knew the law, and he did. He was a man who was taught in the ways of the law, the Mosaic law. And he was zealous in how he lived out his life in that Mosaic law. And some of us may even know our own faith and may be able to even explain it to someone else. But God says, don't judge me about the outside. Don't simply judge a book by its cover. Go inside, go interior. Come to know me personally and intimately. And we know that happens for Paul, that when he's on the road to Damascus and he's seeking to persecute more Christians because he claims to know God more and better than anybody else, that on the way there, Jesus makes himself known to St. Paul. And if we hear those words, we can recollect them. We know those words. We know what Jesus says to St. Paul when he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's personal, it's intimate. Jesus is saying, whatever it is that you're doing to my Christian brothers and sisters, to these beloved children of God, you are personally doing to me. What Jesus is saying to Paul at this moment is, you don't know me. You may know the law, but you don't know the spirit of the law, and you don't know who the law is. It's Jesus. He is the fulfillment of this law. He is the spirit of the law, which we know is love. And Paul does not have that love in his heart for his brothers and sisters. And Jesus comes and tells them, they know me. They know me intimately and personally, and they pray to me. And so I love the way he becomes blinded. When we come blinded, we have to trust on our hearing because we can't see where we're going. We have to trust in our hearing that someone else might be able to lead us. And he's forced to go interiorly. He's forced to go into prayer. He's forced to go into that place where God dwells inside of us. And to stop hearing exterior voices, to stop to even listening to his own voice, Jesus wants him to be still and be silent and to truly learn to listen so that God could give him wisdom and he may come to know God intimately through his conversion, through a heart that's contrite, to someone who seeks forgiveness for their sinfulness and really turns around in a path of righteousness and a path of truth and a way of life that Jesus says, this is the way you are to live as a beloved child of God. And we know that when Paul is baptized and when he is forgiven of his sins and when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, we know that he is a new day, a new beginning, a new creation, a new life in Christ. Now he knows Jesus personally and intimately. And now knowing Jesus, he knows the Father. And now he knows the Spirit. And now Paul knows the truth. He knows the God that was unknown to him, the God that he unknowingly worshiped, now is known to him personally and intimately. And Jesus would even say that Paul will come to suffer greatly for the name of Jesus, that he will live in the name of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. And he would testify to that. Paul says, it's no longer my life that I'm living. It's Jesus who lives inside of me. So now God is personal, is intimate. I know him and he knows me. I remain in him and he remains in me. And that is what Paul says to the Athenians, that the God that they're looking for, the one that is unknown to them, can't be in these little sanctuaries. He can't be controlled by human hands. He can't be created by human hands. This God doesn't need anything, Paul says to them. He doesn't need to be served by you in this capacity. He simply needs to be known by you. Do you know God that way? Do you worship God knowingly with a knowledge that's personal and intimate? Can you testify to your conversion to someone else? Can you tell them that this God that they don't know, that they don't listen to, that they're unable to hear, that you know and you want them to know him that way? And so you preach repentance. You preach forgiveness. You preach conversion. And so Paul makes known to them who he now knows God to be truly in his life, who God truly is. He shares with them. And he says, you know, God made the world and all that's in it, he says. He is Lord of heaven and the earth. This God, he comes to give to everyone life and breath. That God made the whole human race. He made the earth and everything in it. That he orders all things, the sun, the moon, the seasons. And God creates all this so that a people might seek him. His creation might long for him. His scattered sheep might want to be in his fold again. He does all this so that God can be known to us and we may be known to him. Paul speaks to them about the closeness of God, that he's not some God who's off in a distant planet, in a distant universe, far, far away. He says, no, God is close to all of us, that he wants to be known by us, and we must be known by him. He says, in God, we live and move and have our being. We are God's offspring. We are his creation. We are his children, that we live and breathe and move because we have being, and we have being because we are created in God, in his image and in his likeness. And so now Paul makes known what was unknown to everyone else. Yes, they were very religious people. They were very spiritual people, but they didn't know who they were worshiping. They didn't know who they were praying to. And they say, this God, the God who created us, wants to be known by us. You know, St. Bernardine of Siena, when he speaks about Paul, he's often compared to St. Paul because of his preaching abilities. And he also wanted to make known who God was in the world, how God personally converted him and transformed him and made him a new creation. He says of Paul is this burning and shining light. He says, it's set up on a candlestick. It's meant to give light to others, to show truth to others, to bear witness to other of who the light really is. Jesus is the light of the world, and within him we hear that we see light, its very self. He is the source of it. And then Paul, in all the ways that he could preach, by his letters, by his miracles, by his actions, by his example, by his own life, St. Paul simply bears witness to the faith, to the truth of who God is. God is love, and God wants to love his creation. St. Bernardine said that Paul is like a fire, and he says when a fire is lit, it's meant to clear a field. It burns off everything that is dry and useless. All the weeds and all the thorns, they just are meant to be burned away like chaff. And like the sun, which rises to dispel darkness, that's the way the light is when we preach the truth to those who don't know God, to whom God remains unknown. so that all in his voice, when Paul went out and preached the truth, he was preaching from his own personal experience. It's called felt knowledge. He felt who God was interiorly to him. He personally witnessed it because he experienced it, his very self. And so this light, it's meant to consume all of us. It's meant to be like a brilliant flame for all of us. It's meant to light the path of knowledge and wisdom and understanding for all of us, so that we can come to know this great God who loves us and created everything for us, so that we can seek him and come to find him and come to know him and know how beautiful he is and how beautiful we are. This beautiful oneness of God, that God is love. Yes, we say that, but do we understand what that means? That the Father and the Son love each other so much, so intimately, so perfectly. They love each other the same, without hesitation, without confusion, without division. That this love is so powerful that it manifests itself into a person, into the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is love, which is breath. It gives life. It gives meaning. It gives purpose. And so Jesus is trying to teach us today of the very essence of who God is, a God who wants to be known by all of us. And he says, as he has shown us the Father, he has made the Father known to us, that the Word has been made flesh, it's been made visible to us, that Jesus is communicating everything that the Father says. He is the Father's Word. And that when we hear Jesus speak, we actually hear the Father speaking to each and every single one of us. And Jesus says now that the Spirit that he has sent only speaks what he hears. He speaks Jesus because he hears Jesus, because Jesus speaks what he hears from the Father. They are united in this bond of love, this bond of perfection, this bond of unity. That when we see one, we see the other. When we hear one, we hear the other. So the Spirit is coming to share everything that the Son has shared, because the Son has shared everything that he has received from the Father. Each one is communicating the other person to us. Each one is revealing the other person to us. Each one is manifesting the love of the other person to us. A total unity of persons, a community of love, a community that's self-giving. That this is what our Lord wants us to know. That everything that we have has been given to us by the Father. Everything that we need is available for us to be happy. That this God wants us to know him because he has done everything for us. He continues to nourish us, to feed us, to care with us, to care for us, and to be with us. This is the absolute generosity of God. He is an unlimited gift of self that continues to give himself always to us and constantly. The saints, those beautiful messengers of God, those happy feet that have gone into the world to proclaim the good news, who have shared how God has personally fed them, sustained them, encouraged them, inspired them, how God continues to be one with them in an intimate and loving relationship. That this God is not unknown to us. This God is known to us. He wants to be known to us, and he wants us to know him personally. And we can only do that through the gift of prayer. We must enter into prayer, into that interior place where God dwells inside of us, where God wants to know you, everything about you. Your heart breaks, your broken heart, all the ways that you were wrong, those who have persecuted you, those who had hurt you. He wants to know when you're sad, when you're hungry, when you're sick. He wants to know about your family and your struggles and your needs. He wants to know about your job and all the ways that that challenges you. God wants to be a part of you. He wants to know you personally and intimately. And the only way that you can do that is by knowing who God is in prayer.